Dear listeners, welcome to episode 31. One of our friends raised an issue, saying, "Sir, we were stuck on episode 24, then episodes 25 and 24 hit us like a punch, and we were dazed. Then suddenly episode 30 came out and we were sent flying, and we got crushed before 29 even arrived. I said that you should reveal these secrets slowly. Now, while you're warmed up, while you're still hot, let them land another punch. And it is this. For the many of you who ask, look, if 51% of any country, say for example Italy, listens to Restart and don't ask me political questions, anything can happen. Meaning it's enough for just 51% of the people on planet Earth to listen to Restart or in Italy or in Japan. You want to, I don't know, fix its situation, change its regime, whatever you can think of. And when 51% listen to Restart, a command will descend from above, and then the perfect human will be forced to, yes, they just have to listen, meaning send me to gaze upon the city, to see the city, send it out, promote it, make it a poem, advertise it. It's enough for 51% of the people of the planet or that country or anywhere to sit and listen, and everything changes. And this change is in the hands of you, dear esteemed listeners of the Restart program, as we have now reached the threshold of 2 million listeners. If we become 10 million, it's over. Thank you so much for still being here. We are fundraising this week, and God willing, if possible, we want to get the television broadcast up and your financial help from $1 to several million dollars. We will be at your service. Set aside your time this week if you have relatives abroad or anyone who can help us. Everyone coordinate so that we can do it. It's been 3 or 4 months now, and the advertising, I haven't taken money from anyone except for 1 or 2 weeks when some people kindly forced it on us at the network's doorstep. Their small monthly contributions. From the rest, truly, no matter how many messages I received, I told them to wait. This week, I want to start the fundraising, God willing, to go for the television broadcast. Last week, we mentioned that Mr. Abraham is the same as Zoroaster, and many other things were revealed that shattered the mental structures of many people. We also read a poem, and this poem was from Attar. And now, for me to be able to explain this poem, as we're supposed to do this week, it's going to get a bit more difficult today. There are things that will be required to define this poem and what perspective Attar had on this matter. But before that, I posted on my Facebook, Instagram, and Telegram about that word, Avalik. It's a very important point. Valik refers to something distant. I told you this the other day. It says, Valkil Kitab, that book, which is far away. And Tilka is the feminine singular, and it's not Hatha. Hatha means this. Here it beautifully points out that there is a book that is far away, a distant book, not this Quran that is in your hand. Then I also pointed out to you that in this very Quran of the Muslims it is written that God has cursed anyone who writes this book by hand or prints it, in other words, writes it by hand and so on. These are very important points to know. So this Avalik, a word that refers to distance. I have also posted the proof for you to look at and see. Some old Quran say that book and that book which. What is the difference with this book that you have written? And again, some people asked questions that I will probably announce the answer to this week, Saturday or Friday on the show at 11 o'clock. We will present you with a Restart 2, even though we were supposed to reach 500,000 listeners first. A program where we can answer a few of your questions. Tomorrow we've added a half set to Restart, so you can make an effort to get us to 500,000. So this word, Avalik, clarifies a point within it. Of course, this is after this Quran was written by the hands of men and has no connection to the name Muhammad ibn Abdullah, meaning its only connection is that if this belonged to Muhammad ibn Abdullah, was revealed to Muhammad ibn Abdullah, it had no connection to the next perfect human, no connection to the perfect human of now or before, or these, well, these are also definitions we must later explain and talk about. But 200 years later, when the mystics came and called the bluff of these mullahs and said, "Yeah, sir, this Avalik means that." And these guys opened up a new decoder, meaning the government started writing a new Arabic dictionary, like a decoder, like a moin. They published an Arabic dictionary, and there, for the first time, they gave Avalik another meaning. That Avalik can sometimes mean this. How interesting, right?
It's like your mom sometimes becomes your dad. I mean, it's that funny. They added this word in some places, but no Arabic dictionary has such a thing. They made a mess of everything. Because of that, they also sent the Quranic commentary that had written it as that. Even in the translations, it is written that, not this. Now, Attar has a few lines of poetry that transform a person. And from that topic of yours about, because I said last time that we don't have archaeological artifacts from Abraham. Look, right now we have, you can't just change history. History shows that a man named Muhammad ibn Abdullah existed, a man named, for example, from your topic, Zoroaster existed. You can't change history. You can say Afghanistan is a country now, but you can't say that that piece of land called Afghanistan never existed. You can't overturn history. You can change the tone of history, like that sentence I mentioned. But you can't do this. In written history, a being named Abraham does not exist unless he is the same as Zoroaster, meaning he came 3,500 to 4,000 years ago. In our archaeological artifacts, we don't have an individual named Abraham. In fact, many in mysticism say Abraham is a title of Hazrat Zoroaster, meaning Zoroaster Abraham or Prahim and many other things. If we don't pay attention to certain points, many things change. And anyway, in our archaeological record, we don't have such a thing about Abraham. And it's completely clear that we do have Zoroaster. We have the whole story of Zoroaster and the fire and all that. And it's clear he was a real person. And the Kaaba, which you hadn't seen, you saw that the father of the father of the father of the father of Muhammad ibn Abdullah's lineage, this Kaaba that is now built is in his name. And another reason is that we didn't even have a city named Mecca in Arabia. Mecca was created more than 300 years before Islam. Mecca, we simply didn't have a city by this name before Islam to call it Mecca. That's why if you look at the wars, no one attacked Arabia. No one attacks four guys riding around on horses or camels. The country, even in conquests, no one ever took Arabia throughout history. And the next reason I mentioned is that you have to think, what were the Jews doing in the middle of that place? It's like if the entire nation of Iran went to the Lut Desert and suddenly started buying houses tomorrow. And you'd ask, what good is a house in the middle of the Lut Desert? Why did you buy a house? It raises questions, right? All these questions of who all those people were there, why were they there? And this story becomes clear when I explain the story of Islam, meaning you have to know a few thoughts, a few important topics in history. And the issue of the Parthians, Ashkanian itself, will be presented to you in 3 or 4 programs. Attar says in a poem that he committed incest with his own mother and Jesus was born. I'll read the poem again. Last week we didn't have the chance to understand what the poem was. I'll read it again. I am that ancient Gwebre who established the idol temple. He says, Attar says, I am that ancient Gwebre. What does that mean? It means I am Zoroaster. It means I am Adam. This is what he is saying. Who established the idol temple? Meaning, I am the first person who built the house of God. Attar said, I went upon the roof of that temple, and in this world I made a call. Attar says that I went up on the roof of this house. The first person who went on the roof of that house, the Kaaba as you call it, or whatever house Attar is talking about, which you say is Zoroaster. Attar says, I shouted from up there, I was the first one. I issued a call to heresy to you, O Muslims, for I have polished those old idols once more. He says, again I came to you Muslims and built a house there again. Attar says, I issued a call to heresy to you, O Muslims. He says after his first house in the place of Adam, he says, I was the first Adam, I came and built the house. Afterwards I came again and polished the idols once more, meaning I built God's idol house again. For you Muslims, meaning I came and built the Kaaba in the middle of the desert. Then you Arabs took my religion, shifted it around a bit, wrote a book in the middle of it, and threw in some stuff and hadiths and so on, and then poured jurisprudence and such into it, and now you've produced a new religion. It has 1 billion followers, and instead of everyone coming to understand my religion, Attar says, they have understood your religion, and you are no different from the Christians. Because the Christians too, when I was Christ, the Christians also came and wrote a book called the Torah, the Gospel, and they published this Gospel, created some laws on it with the governments, and now 3 billion have become Christians. From that mother of whom I was born, I became her partner once more. For that reason they call me a Gwebre, for I committed incest with my mother. Here Attar is laying it bare. He says, I committed incest with my mom, that's why they call me a Gwebre. I was born a virgin from my mother, for that they call me Jesus. For I made this mother's milk into food once again. He says, I was born of a virgin mother, that's why they call me Jesus. Attar says, dear listener, Attar says, I am that Gabriel. He says, from the mother of Jesus, who was a virgin, a mother who can't have a child, a maiden, I was born from there and became Jesus. And afterwards, from this milk of my mother, I produced food again. I gave spirituality out to the world. If they burn the wretched Attar for this heresy, be my witnesses, O men. Here it gets to a very important point. This is officially related, wherever the word man appears in mystical literature, it has nothing to do with male and female, because in mysticism, man and woman are called male sibling, female sibling. Well, that's what they call it in Persian, meaning a man is a male sibling, and a woman is a female sibling. There is only one man, and that is the perfect human and the people of Sufism. Meaning, when I say man here, if you think he's talking about males, it's not like that at all. The definition of man in mysticism is a being who is the only man. We don't have men in the world. Be my witnesses, O men, that I have annihilated myself. Come on, man. Attar is saying nobody existed. I am Jesus, I am Moses, I am Muhammad. What are you talking about? A bunch of idiots have gathered together with a turban that you dug out of the ground 800 years ago with the help of Mr. Mossadegh and the British government, and you've become a rabbi for me, you've become a priest for me, giving out theories. Our dear Attar is saying this. Attar, traverse the seven cities of love. All these points, all these verses are important. In the middle of this, a Sufi doesn't say something unless he sees it. Dear listener, the difference between a Sufi and these little mullahs and little priests and little rabbis and little Zoroastrian priests and little magi and all of them, if you put them all in a bowl, the difference between a Sufi and them is that he says whatever he sees and he cannot say a word more. He might say less, but not more. A Sufi might. In the movie The Matrix, you see the Oracle tells Neo that he told me something else. He said either me or you, and so on. Then Morpheus tells him, look, whatever she told it for you, not for you to tell the person next to you. This saying hadith was for you. She was a doctor, your physician. That Sufi tells you, sir, you eat butter, dip it in water, and eat. If the person next to you eats it, they'll die. She is your physician. For God's sake, don't recount the oracle sentences to me. There is a very important point behind this curtain, meaning it says that a Sufi says whatever he sees, he may say less, and all Sufis themselves also lie. As soon as you ask them, oh, do you understand something? They say, no. This is a lie, isn't it? What does it mean? Why does he lie? All perfect humans, all the few Sufis, all of them lie. All of them. You ask, do you understand anything? No. Do you know anything? No. Then Shams, this old man gets up and comes here. An old man that if you blew on him, he'd fall flat on his face. And he comes and shakes the great mullah of history, a man named Rumi. So how did you shake him? How do you bring Peter back from the dead? I have to tell this story of the all-knowing judges who tell great lies. So, a Sufi says whatever he sees, all the changes of state belong to him. Go ahead and critique. Where did Attar say this poem? Rumi says something like, Attar traversed the seven cities of love. He doesn't say Attar became the seven cities of love. This is a very important point. If he said Attar became the seven cities of love, it would mean Attar is a perfect human. When he says Attar traversed the seven cities of love, it means the seven cities of love are in the perfect human. Meaning he has journeyed and wandered within the perfect human. He has traversed the seven cities of love. He hasn't become them. The difference between a perfect human and a Sufi is that he is that seven cities of love. He is that beautiful one. But when you become a Sufi, when you reach those levels, you journey within him. Meaning he isn't the Big Bang. 18,000 worlds are inside him. You and I don't understand these things. By God, we don't understand. Neither you understand nor do I understand. By God, we don't understand. Do you know why? Because we, with all our senses, our ears and eyes and all this, we understand nothing. We don't even understand the sound of an ant. We understand nothing. We have no literature about it. We don't get it. You have to want this. It's not something that can be seen. As this poem was said at a time when Attar said one last word, he says, be my witnesses, O men, meaning O Sufis, that I have annihilated myself, meaning he has reached the seventh degree of annihilation. What is the seventh degree of annihilation, you ask? This poem was said at a moment when Attar is in the sixth valley, which is bewilderment. What does annihilation mean? He says, now I remember when I was a kid, they used to say, Ashra Harla, Ashra Ya Harhal Shirhalara, for example, from the Torah. It says, I am that I am. Meaning Moses goes to Mount Tur, he says to God, if I go there and they ask me who you are, what should I say? Now, whether that God in the tree was a perfect human or not, that itself is a discussion that will be clarified later. He says, go and tell them that I am that I am. I am that I am. Now, we have to explain the Valley of Bewilderment a little. These things should be explained by the Sufis around a perfect human. Right now, I am just explaining it at our own level, at the level of your and my understanding. Otherwise, this should be explained by the Sufis around him who can make the world spin. We told you three secrets and you were sent flying. We haven't said anything yet. By God, we haven't said anything yet. Even if we were to say just one line from episode 55 right now, you would... Bewilderment, to get to your topic, is when you understand something new. The Valley of Bewilderment is a valley where I am, but I am not. The Valley of Bewilderment means I am not what I am. What I am not, sometimes I am. The Valley of Bewilderment is a valley where you are non-existent, but you exist. Meaning you are no longer, but you are. Sometimes you are, but you are not. You don't know if you are or you are not. You know that you do not know whether you are or you are not. Socrates' sentence. So it's clear that Socrates passed the sixth valley. He says, I know that I know nothing. Let's go to Khayyam and see which valley Khayyam passed. In Sufism, Khayyam, if you are drunk with wine, be happy. If you are sitting with a tulip-cheeked one, be happy. Since the end of the world's affair is nothingness, pretend you are not. While you are, be happy. So Khayyam too. The code is that they all know each other, meaning Khayyam has also passed level 6. He says, Khayyam, if from the wine, from this beautiful one, you have received something, you are drunk, be happy. With a tulip-cheeked, a moon-faced, an idol, a beautiful one, a rosy-cheeked beauty you are sitting, be happy. Since the end of the world's affair is nothingness, meaning it goes into non-existence. Pretend you are not, you are, be happy, meaning the Valley of Bewilderment here, he is explaining Atta's sixth valley. Khayyam is also seeing this valley of his, their units are also different. The levels that I mentioned, the seven levels, law, path, and truth, that's another game. These things, these might happen within one level, meaning it happens in level 3, it goes into truth, the gate becomes more dangerous. This valley in mysticism is the same. I say the sixth valley, meaning the sixth valley is a valley where, as you are sitting in front of me, you are not there. Oh, you say, oh my God, you see the universe. The matrix opens up. You see the entire universe. Everything you see is inside one person, and that is a drop from an ocean. And that ocean is, for example, God. For example, you see everything within one thing, in Him. You see, here the valley of Christ is the same now. I'm saying, so what does Christ say? I am that I am. So Christ has passed the valley of annihilation, meaning Christ sees himself as God. Dangerously, he sees that being. He considers himself God. He says, I am because I am. Well, now if we follow the laws of all the people of the world are born of incest, right? Why? Because they came from Adam and Eve. This one's sister married this one married his mom, and you can marry your mother too. And they were born, and that's how it happened. So everyone is born of incest, and everyone drinks blood in their mother's womb, so they are all blood drinkers too. Meaning this is clear in its valleys, for example. It's obvious. Now here, regarding fate, where he says, I have something to say about Mary, you have to know this story about Mary in mysticism, in Attar and Rumi's explanations, to see where Jesus comes from. We have to see these things in the Surah of the Poet, so I don't know which chapter, I don't know which verse, 193, it says, the trustworthy spirit came... I don't care about this part. This part is very important. Is it this one? No, this one. Surah Maryam, it says, and the pains of childbirth drove her to the trunk of a palm tree. All Christians don't know where Christ was before the age of 27. Where are their palm trees? Khuzestan has palm trees. So Mary's pain must have started in a place where there are palm trees. This is one important point. Ah, so we must definitely have palm trees there. It says her pain came and she was drawn to a palm tree. She said, oh, I wish I had died before this and was in utter oblivion, verse 23 of Surah Maryam. What is this? Where are their palm trees? Zoroaster is in Khuzestan. From Khuzestan he goes to build the house of God, meaning his own house, which was the house of Adam, meaning Mecca, the Kaaba. It says it beautifully. It says palm tree. Now what's the story? Here he explains with cunning in the valley of love, meaning the gentleman I'm about to read, now I'm starting with illumination. I want to start that. I want to explain the seven cities of love a little. What does it mean? He says that before Hazrat Maryam, Attar and Rumi tell a joke. They say Mary, the mother of Jesus, her food always came from above, meaning it came from the sky and she would eat. Now these are all metaphors, you know. She would eat. One day she had a child. When her child was born, the food didn't come. An hour passed, no food. An hour and a half, no food. 2 hours, no food. Then she cried and said, Sir, before the food was always ready, now that my child is born and I want to breastfeed him and the food doesn't come. Gabriel came. She said, Sir, what happened to our food? He said, You have no more food. She said, Excuse me? Why? He said, Because before this child was born, in your heart, there was one beautiful one named the perfect human. It was all the beautiful one. Now you are in love with a lump of flesh that has been born. Your heart is divided into two. Now you have to go work and earn money. Now we can't give you food anymore because you are not in our heart. You are now a traitor to our heart. You are betraying us. You are in love with this beautiful little child. And for this reason, the verse says to shake the palm tree. Wahuzzi ilayki bijiz'in nakhla. The palm tree, the palm tree. And take the trunk of the palm tree towards yourself and shake it, shake it. It will drop fresh dates upon you. Eat your dates now. Now that you've fallen in love with someone else, you've abandoned this beautiful one in the valley of love. Now go do this. This is the question. Then the end of the verse is very interesting in this Quran of the Muslims. At the end, it says, I'll tell you now. This Quran itself has discussions about what it's like. Then it says, Ya Ukhta Harun, O sister of Aaron. One of the very important things, Aaron means guardian of the king. The word is Arabic. They say Harun. This Harun had two children, Shabar, Shabir. The names are Persian. The mother says, O daughter, daughter of Aaron. Aaron had two other sons, Shabar and Shabir, which right now go search on the site to understand what I'm saying. Go search and say how they chose the names Hassan and Hussein. If you look right here, the intelligence and information guys have posted it. It says that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, when Fatima Zahra's child was born, said, What should we name him? Fatima said, I want to give him a Persian name. Muhammad said, Eshay, actually Persian is good too. Our family is Persian, say they're Iranian, let's name him that. She said, What should we name him? He said, Oh my God, this is a very important point. He said, So that these Arabs don't suddenly get upset and all. He said, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, I had a dream last night that they said, name him Shabar. Name him after Mary's brother's child. Name him after the child of Khuzestan, Shabar. Then Shabar in Arabic becomes Hassan. Then for the next one, they said Shabir, which in Arabic became Hussein. Go ahead and search it. Shabar and Shabir and Hassan and Hussein. 500 verses, sayings of the Messenger of God will come up for you to unpack. There is another verse in the Quran that is very interesting. Surah of the Poets, Surah Shu'ara. I had it ready, verse 196. Listener, it's as if Muhammad's language is not Arabic, as if he doesn't know Arabic at all. There is a verse in the Quran, if I were to become Husseini right now and become Muhammad ibn Abdullah and revelation came to me, I wouldn't have these discussions with God. What does that mean? It means I am speaking Persian. You and I are here. My knowledge of Persian literature is good. I speak Persian. The verse comes in Persian. Unless I'm in America and Shakespeare is revealed to me in Persian saying, read Ikra, my friend. I'd say, what is read? It would say, my English is not good. Gabriel descends and says, read. They say, read. They say, whatever, I don't know English. They say, read, meaning read. One would have to ask, what is read? What should we read? It says, read this. Then I would ask, my dear, why must you reveal in the English language? Why do you bestow your grace in this way? Please say it in Persian. Then God would say, no, in America or England, if you release your Quran in Persian, O Muhammad and Husseini, the Americans won't accept it.
They won't believe. Why won't they? Because they believe in their own language. For this reason, don't be upset that you can't release it in Persian. Don't be upset that you have to. The story of Muhammad. Let's see where the perfect human is at that time.
The perfect human's place is in the Levant, in Syria. Pay attention to this point. That's why Abdullah, his father, and all came from there. Now I'll read the Quranic verse. The trustworthy spirit came, so you may be a warner, and in a clear Arabic tongue. This Quran came. And indeed it was in the scriptures of former peoples, meaning the description of this book was also there back then, and the children of Israel, meaning the scholars who have now bought land and homes in the middle of this desert, they all know this. That's why they are here too. And meaning no one would leave the Mediterranean Sea, the Spanish, the Canary Islands, in the hope of coming here. It's telling Muhammad, it says, ask these children of Israel here. The children of Israel, these children of Jacob, meaning the Sayyids attribute themselves to Jacob, are descended from Jacob. وَلَوْ نَزَّلْنَاهُ عَلِي بَعْضِ الْأَجَمِينَ It says, if we had sent it down to some of the non-Arabs, meaning Ajam is non-Arab, if we had revealed it, O Muhammad, if we had revealed this Quran in a non-Arabic language, and a prophet read it to them, they would not have believed in it. The gentleman who is listening, some idiot, gives us a theory that the language of heaven is Arabic, and then the Persians are in hell, that fool. To see such a reason, look, I don't care what the hell I'm doing, I'm a Sufi, every place, it's really a stable fit for donkeys there. Yes, Arabic. Here in the Quran itself it says, so the reason we gave this language is Arabic, and don't you be upset that we should have given it in your own language, we gave it in Arabic, because these guys before, they wouldn't have believed in Persian, we're at your service, they don't understand. What don't these have? Dude, then you say, at your service, then it creates problems. Read, O Muhammad, we're at your service. Then they'd ask what at your service is. Well, we'll explain later what at your service is. These things have their quirks. They wouldn't have believed. Why either the Prophet read it to them, فَقْرَأُوا إِلِيهُمْ, and he read it to them. Meaning it's explicitly saying this Prophet is not even one of their own. Because if he were one of their own, he would speak Arabic, right? Why would we have to give it to him in Arabic for him to speak Arabic? In two verses it completely shows that behind the curtain, Muhammad ibn Abdullah was unlettered because he could neither write Arabic well, nor were Ali ibn Abdullah, his father and his father's father, Arabs, two generations back. And for all these reasons, he couldn't write Arabic well. His Arabic language, he didn't know Arabic at all. It explains it beautifully in the verse. Read 198, 199, it's completely clear what it's saying. Now the valley of bewilderment is the valley where Atta comes, goes and sees, oh my God, who built the house of God? He sees it from before until he is with Jesus, until he becomes Jesus. Then he commits incest, meaning the Holy Spirit, meaning he sees himself as the Holy Spirit. He says, I became the Holy Spirit who then went and committed incest with my own mother who was Mary. When the incest happened, I produced a child named Jesus. Then Jesus himself is saying it. This is a metaphor for you to know what beings and what people are in that valley. Today, if there's a chance, oh God, because he wants these things, he wants me to explain. Just know that, sir, the subject is far beyond this. And to get to your topic, there are many other things that exist which we don't want to talk about right now because I said, let's go slowly together.
Let's go slowly together now. First, let me say, Abraham, if I had said in the first program that Abraham is Zoroaster, you would have turned it off and left. Let's do it slowly. Abraham came, they threw Abraham into the fire. Zoroaster was also around at the same time. Why? Oh my God, may God strike me dead. How similar their histories are. Oh my God, may God strike me dead. How similar their stories are. Oh my God, may God strike me dead. All these mullahs and rabbis and priests say the scrolls don't exist. Why don't the scrolls of Abraham exist? Because it was the Avesta, man. The Avesta is the same as the Suhuf. They also call it the Zand. Zand. Now we have to tell you these things and then unpack them so we know why everyone, thank God books have been the best source of income for mullahs and priests. Meaning, the first thing when a prophet came, the first thing the government would do was say, let's publish a book in his name, God willing, so we can make a living. They came, meaning the scrolls of Abraham didn't exist, meaning the government at that time was so knowledgeable that it wasn't after theft. No, man, it wasn't like that. In all eras, this Mr. Ahmadinejad exists. Throughout all of history, there have always been these. Don't tell me you're surprised now because the world has Google. Now, Attar, we were supposed to start with a poem from Attar that we mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago. We'll start so I can begin this poem. And then, when you have passed, there are seven valleys on the path. The valley of quest is the start of the work. After that is the valley of love, which is without shore.
The Valley of Love is where the lady, the great Hazrat Maryam, did us the favor of falling in love with her child. Meaning, instead of being in love with that beautiful one, before food would arrive, everything would arrive. That's the metaphor. But when she had a child, the food no longer came. It said the heart was split in two. This also shows the status of women, that men, thank God, perhaps aren't at the level of understanding a child. It doesn't become a drop. They are after a new drop. I am very thankful. I am. Meaning, they have less of this lovey-dovey stuff and kids and all. Mothers have more of it. This itself is a metaphor for love. The Valley of Quest is the start of the work. The Valley of Quest is the valley where you, dear listeners, right now, your desire to listen to this program, you are exactly in this Valley of Quest, meaning you understand thousands of billions of times more than a mullah. That guy is sitting there like a computer, like right now the Quran is loaded onto my computer. Now what does that mullah say? My computer, if I type verse 98, it's surah and everything comes up in a second. The mullah reads 300 pages, scratches his beard until he can say where it is. It's like we've loaded it into his RAM. He doesn't have anything. Memorizing a book is not... A cow is exactly like a donkey with books loaded on it. It doesn't understand a thing. That's what... So you now understand billions of times more than a rabbi about what you understand. Do you know why you understand? Because you have quest now. What does that mean? It means you have now understood that there is something new. You have to understand something new. Everyone has been lying until now. Everyone has been talking nonsense, meaning intellect has kicked in, meaning knowledge has kicked in, meaning understanding has kicked in. You wanted it. You no longer imitate like a goat. You don't create a source of emulation for yourself. Because the first question for a source of emulation in any religion is, if you are to baptize in the name of Jesus, where is your letter of permission, your little license? Where is it written that Jesus confirms you are baptizing correctly? That this license of yours is from God, that you are sitting here interpreting the Quran for me on behalf of God, that is the same corpse. Because you have understood this, you are listening to this program, it has a wickedness to it, meaning your intellect has been shaken. You have understood, La ilaha, meaning you are moving towards Hawkins. La ilaha means Hawkins. It means there is no God. So the path to pass through to reach Illallah must necessarily be through the path of blasphemy. That lady who raised the issue on Facebook, listen. Abraham reached his Abrahamness through doubt. The path of religion, in la ilaha, means there is no God. First, you must reach this level of consciousness, Hawkins level, meaning your intellect must be shaken. As long as you have a source of emulation, you are just passing through like a cow, your eyes are closed and you're just going, and you don't want any proof from that guy either. Your intellect will never be shaken, like a child really. They're holding your hand and leading you. Intellect is when you reach maturity. The listener of this program, love is something that comes, not something that is learned. You can't read it in books. Because I can't read billions of books, I don't have the time to read billions of books to understand where the right path is and where the straight path is. And after he understands this, and when he understands this subject, only then does he start on the path of quest. So you are very different. You see what heaven is? Heaven is also a place of ignorance. The mystics say, O ascetic, this heaven and its houris are all yours for cheap. You didn't get the story at all. You heaven. Heaven is a stable just like hell. Why are you so in love with heaven and hell, you idiot? Listen, man. There, all the angels were listening like goats. They were all standing there. Three or four of them argued with God. This is the story. I'll review the story again. I said, every time I review a story, two, three, four people argued with God. The first was Satan. The first was Eve. Eat, eat. The first was Satan, who did not prostrate. What does that mean? It means he objected, right? It means he understood something. He understood something, right? His reason was shaken. His intellect was shaken. He said, why should I prostrate to this stinking mud you made? I will not prostrate to this. I only prostrate to you. You are humiliating me by making me prostrate to this. You must have something up your sleeve. Then who understood? Then Eve. So she's smarter than Adam, meaning all women are smarter than men. She said, man, eat the apple. What do you mean we won't eat? What was it that we shouldn't eat? Now we present this in reverse. Yes, Eve was deceived. No, man, it was the tree of knowledge. She ate the apple. She ate the apple. Her bells were rung. They said, oh, man, his bells were rung by that. Oh, man. Oh my, why haven't we been kissing each other all this time in heaven, dude? We were such idiots that no, we were just drinking water. To maturity. They said we haven't reached maturity. Beautiful one. If we reach maturity, we'll do something together. I didn't do anything. They were just coming and going with such idiocy. It's really, they were animals. After she ate the apple, you looked at the winged ones. Wow, what feathers, what a tail. Amazing. Wow, this husband is so handsome. What? Wow, wow, what a kiss this could be. What dot, dot, dot. She came to kiss him, Adam said. By God, I don't understand why we read about kissing. What is a kiss? She said, you don't know what a kiss is? He said, Antoine, no. She said, it's love, the second path after quest. Meaning first you have to seek, get the apple, then you reach the valley of love. Love means we kiss. Don't act like an idiot, you kiss. Why are we waiting for God? We can produce on our own. We can have our own child. We can be the God of our own child. We've understood now. They understood the kiss, meaning they understood the valley of love. They understood, oh my, we can kiss. We can be in love with each other. What a jingle. How beautiful. Wow, what a beautiful one. Fix your hair. Back then, there was no bastard committee to arrest you for not wearing a hijab. They wouldn't come. They were free. No, even God didn't have the sense to create a committee. It's very interesting. In heaven, God didn't have the sense to create a committee and then put a mullah there or something. One of these, that Abila also didn't come to say, hijab, ma'am, pull up your scarf. Come on. There was nothing. This itself shows that God is against this basij and the basiji mentality. It's evidence itself. It came. You're laughing at all of this. Listen to the program for your mother's sake. 7, 8 went by. Listen. They gain knowledge of each other. The third valley is the valley of knowledge. So the first is quest. The second is lips and mouth and kisses. Love from there, colorful love, and then love, and then Rumi is in the valley of love. Meaning this love where we are after each other's jingles and stuff is useless. You are after producing something. Now love is in the valley of love, the second valley. So the fourth valley is the attribute of detachment. Detachment. Then he said, we don't need God to create. Detachment means becoming self-sufficient. We can also produce children. Then the little jingle, the chubby one. We have children just like that. I'm giving an example. I am explaining the valley from an earthly and temporal... Oh, so heaven is a place of idiocy. Whoever was in heaven is this, was a computer, was an angel, was an archangel. Something was loaded into their RAM that you just had to go right. It would say, ding, yes, do it. Whenever I restart you, I do Alt-Delete on you, you turn off. I hit power, you turn on. That became heaven. It became Google search. Why did they eat the apple? Because they wanted their intellect to be shaken. They saw that Hawkins exists. They said, let's go the way of La ilaha illallah. There is no God. We will eat the apple ourselves. And Satan tells him, Satan swears an oath. It's very interesting. He swears an oath to God. So he was telling the truth. You can't swear a false oath in heaven. He says, I swear to God, if you eat from this apple tree, you yourselves will become gods. And he's right. We became gods. My mom, she brought me into existence without God meddling in my mom and dad. Now one is from Japan, one from the other side. Anyway, kisses and... Anyway, it got very sidetracked. Our time is up. I'll explain this next week. So in the sixth valley, Mr. Attar has explained this. This is the evidence. The evidence means that the very sentence, I am that I am, I know that I know nothing, is explaining the sixth and seventh valleys. Khayyam says the same thing. Open your eye and see. All is the manifestation of the beloved in every door and wall. Since you have sat down to this spectacle, do you see any dweller in the house other than him? The same La ilaha illahu that we explained. We also explained from Hafez. Sadi says, I am joyful in the world because the world is joyful from him. He's explaining the valley so beautifully. I am joyful in the world because the world is joyful from him. I am in love with the whole universe because the whole universe is from him. Anyway, I'm just explaining so that you know, and these are also very important points that we talked about. help us so we can go on. We've been advertising for 5-6 months. And honestly, we haven't taken any money from people so far, but please do us the favor of advertising heavily so we can reach 51% if you want something, if you have a wish. I don't know if you do or not. I don't meddle. We don't have any wishes. We're just going to fall over in 20, 30 years, 40 years and die. As long as we eat and go, that's enough. But if you have a wish, a goal, a political goal, it's none of my business. I just landed another punch on you. Sometimes God is forced to give an order that the perfect human is then forced to carry out. You have to understand these things yourself. I am not interfering, and I entrust you to the perfect human, to those beautiful Sufis, around that beautiful one, to the perfect human, to Attar, Socrates, Plato, Khayyam, Baba Taher of Hamadan. Another program from Restart.